Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. As you might have noticed that we've been creating a lot of content lately around food. And we discussed, how food can be contaminated with plastic chemicals, pesticides, and other hormone-disrupting chemicals. We also talked about how some food that's healthy food that you eat, especially this healthy food you can eat, especially trying to conceive. And today we're going to talk about the benefit of restricting your food intake through intermittent fasting. And it's a really, really fascinating topic. So we're really excited. We're really glad to be joined today by Dr. Mindy Pels. And Dr. Mindy is a best-selling author, podcast host, and an intermittent fasting expert. So Dr. Mindy will give us a bit of intro to intermittent fasting.
I'm having technical difficulties today, so I apologize for being late.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I'm always like worried about the awkward silence and then thinking about, okay, is this
I get
on
it.
the internet? It's going
Totally
slow.
get it. I've been there 1,000 times, so you totally get it. I'm gonna just keep get my technology better over here. So nice to be here with you.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. This is such a fascinating topic. We're just so excited to talk about it and learn more from you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited. It's my favorite topic, so I'm excited to chat.
So tell us a little bit about your background and like how you became a fasting expert.
Right? This is the million-dollar question. The best way I can explain it is that I have for 25 years been in the health trenches with patients. I have a clinic here in Silicon Valley, where I've been serving, busy Silicon Valley families for 25 years. And I started my educational background is as a chiropractor. For the first 10 years of my practice, I was pretty much practice chiropractic, and then I added in nutrition and detox and biohacking. And my belief system has really been founded upon this idea that the body heals itself. And so everything I've done has been focused on removing interferences from people's bodies so that their body can do what it's meant to do. So when I found fasting, what so lit me up about fasting was that the research was impressive, the results were impressive, and it was free and time efficient. When I saw those four things lined up, I was like, oh my gosh, we can change the health of the world with this tool. Whereas one of my concerns has been that the only way that the way towards health is you've got to have money to be able to spend it on a functional doc or be able to take the supplement to get healthy. But we're, if there's one thing we've learned from the pandemic, we were all in health together. So how are we going to help people who don't have time and they don't have money? And that's where I got obsessed with fasting because it will help. It can help everybody on the planet. Everybody can do it. And it'll change your life and it'll change your health. So that's kind of where I started, and then I just started doing videos on it, and then I landed, all over social media. So that's a little bit of my background.
It's amazing, and we're all benefiting from your videos and your upcoming book.
Thank
So,
you.
the other thing I want to ask is like, you have the Fast Like a Girl campaign and book. So, tell us about that. What does that mean to you?
Thank you for asking. So originally what happened when I started to teach about fasting on YouTube, which is really my main platform. So when I started to understand it and teach on it, I saw that there was a similarity in all the comments coming out from the women. And the similarity was, I love fasting. I feel really good. My energy's up, but I lost my period, or my hair is falling out. And it was always very unique to women. And so I started to dive into the research for women on fasting, and there was none. There's no research out there. There's a few handful of studies. So what, and there's a lot of mixed studies where when they show fasting research, it's done on men and women. So I started to look at the sex hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, and thinking about what they need. Like, how did those hormones, did they do well with fasting or didn't they? Mm-hmm. And there were two glaring things that I saw. Estrogen loves when we fast as women. Progesterone doesn't. So we have to learn to flow with our fasting lifestyle. So I started teaching that on social media. And all of a sudden, I got hundreds of thousands of comments on women who were able to course correct their fasting lifestyle. Women that would have given up on fasting would have said, no, that's not, I'm just, fasting's not my tool, which would have been another diet change that women have gone into and decided it wasn't for them. So I started to teach the nuances of it, and we got such good results with hundreds of thousands of women all over the world that I wanted to put it into a book, because there also wasn't a book for women. There was no book that, when we had all these great books, fasting books, love these fasting books, they're amazing, and there's nothing for women. So Fast Like a Girl has got six different fasts in it and late fasts, and they're all going to be timed to women's hormones. So it'll be the manual that women need to understand how to successfully fast so that their hormones can shine, not tank.
Wow, this is amazing. I think one surprising thing I learned, like, in the past couple of years, is that our hormone actually fluctuates, especially for women. Obviously, during your cycle, it fluctuates. It actually also fluctuates during the day. And then, you know, when you go to a traditional Western medicine doctor, they would just have you do a hormone check whenever, during any time during your period, and also anytime during the day. But I'm like, how do you actually compare? And then, because all of us have different hormones, and when they fluctuate, how do you, you know, determine your lifestyle with it?
Yeah,
this is like so amazing.
It's such a good point, and this is the part that, like, blows me away. I'm a 52 year old woman, and it took me till 42 to understand what you just said. It's like, why? And most women are like, what? Most women don't know when their hormones come in their cycle. So here's what women need to know, is that we are hormonally driven. Our behaviors, our sleep, our appetite, our energy levels, these are all driven by our hormones. And they, to your point, they are pulsing throughout the day, and they're pulsing in and out throughout the month. And so understanding them are so, so important. So the first step is, we've got to understand ourselves, and we got to understand when they come in. It's not like a faucet you turn on and then all of a sudden now you have estrogen. It's like, they're like pulse. Like, you get a little bit of one and then you get a little bit of another one. So this is my creed. This is what I'm trying to teach outside of fasting, is I'm trying to teach women to understand their hormones, because in understanding our hormones, then we can verbalize it to those people in our lives. And we can explain, hey, progesterone's coming in right now. I need to just chill out a little bit. So I'm going to need to say no to that event that we talked about, get doing together. Or, gosh, you know, estrogen is popping in, I can go into a harder workout. These are things that women, I dream we will start talking about for women. Mm-hmm. And it's, to your point, we have to start with understanding these hormones for ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. Totally on the same page. We also try to educate why people need to eliminate, like, hormone disrupting chemicals, because our hormones are just so important.
Yes.
So we really, really need to start understanding, and then, you know, start doing, like, optimizing.
Yep. 100%. And so that's even to your point, like, okay, why would a woman want to not put a toxic lotion on her skin? Well, it blocks a receptor site. So now you're going to get a synthetic version of estrogen that's going to go into the cell and totally change the way that the cell behaves. Whereas if you've gotten the real estrogen into the cell, you would feel completely normal. So it's hormonal health is the new topic for women that we need to understand. And if we don't, there's going to be more cancers and more autoimmune and more infertility. The time is now. We need to become hormone literate. We need to understand this. So 1,000%.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. We're going to have to invite you back to talk about, like, a hormone, and then a deep dive into hormone and fasting and everything.
Love
today,
it.
Like, Okay, we'll focus on intermittent fasting. For those who don't know what intermittent fasting is, like, what is intermittent fasting?
Yeah, so intermittent fasting, think of it this way. In a 24-hour period, we should have a window in which we eat, a time period in which we eat, and a time period in which we don't eat. So intermittent fasting is saying that you are compressing your eating window so that you're leaving somewhere between 13 to 15 hours without food. In that 13 to 15 hours, your body can start to repair. The old theory was eat six meals a day, eat every couple of hours, because it speeds up your metabolism. So I want you to know I've spent hundreds of thousands of hours studying this. I cannot find one study that shows the more often you eat, the faster your metabolism is. I do not believe that happens. So intermittent fasting is saying I'm now going to take my 24-hour period and I'm going to just compress my eating window. So all the food I eat is going to be within this specific window.
That makes a lot of sense. So how does one begin to intermittent fast?
So it's also a really good question. I'm going to try to get my technology up here. Okay, here's the best way you think about it, is that now we know we need to compress the eating window. Mm-hmm. So let's say you get up in the morning and you eat breakfast at 7 o'clock in the morning, every single morning. So the first step I want you to do is I want you to push your breakfast back an hour. Now, here's what's going to happen. It's going to be uncomfortable, but we want it to be uncomfortable because you're going to push it right to that edge that you stimulate something called a hormetic stress. And a hormetic stressor is one where you force the body to adapt and build itself stronger. Let's use the pandemic as an example. When we first went to flatten the curve, wherever you live, you know, I'm in Northern California, that was the whole thing. We're going to shut down for 6 weeks and we're going to flatten the curve. Okay, that was a little uncomfortable, but then it was like, oh, okay, I did a bunch of puzzles. I listened to a bunch of podcasts. I was like, okay, let me have fun with this and see what I can do. Okay, after 6 weeks, it wasn't fun. It was like, what's going on? And it became so stressful that it started to mentally and physically tank people. So when we go to push our and compress our eating window and we go to elongate our fasting window, you're going to first go to an uncomfortable spot. So if pushing your breakfast back to 7 or to 8 is uncomfortable, sit in that discomfort for maybe a half hour, maybe an hour, and then eat. And if every day you start pushing your breakfast back a little more and a little more, you will find that within about a week or two, you're intermittent fasting successfully. It really is that simple. You just have to remind yourself when you get a little discomfort that the body's adapting. So hang in that discomfort for a little bit and then each day push that breakfast back more and more and more. That's really the key. And then outside of that, there's three food changes I think everybody should make as they start to build a fasting lifestyle. The first is you need to make sure you're eating good oils, not bad oils. The second is we've got to move from processed carbs to nature's carbs. So ditch the bread, pick up a piece of fruit. And the third is stop eating toxins. Start reading labels, know what's in your food. So your best bet is if it doesn't have a label, it's probably going to be toxic free unless it's been sprayed with pesticides. So if we just take those three and we compress, start building this time-restricted eating where we're compressing our eating window, you'll be intermittent fasting and getting all the results very quickly.
That's such a good tip and easy to follow too. And you actually just answered my question. But then is there anything you can do during the fasting to help with cravings? Because a lot of time people have cravings, like sugar craving, for example.
Yeah. So it's a great question. So, you know, a lot of times sugar cravings is a die-off of bacteria or fungus in the gut. So let's just take sugar cravings, for example. There's a fungus in the gut called Candida. Most people have it, even though some people talk about having it more than others. We all have this fungus in us. It's just a matter of how much. So what we want to do is that when we go into this fasted state, we're starving Candida out. But Candida is very, very smart, and it doesn't want to die. So in order to not die, what it's going to do is tell you, feed me sugar, feed me sugar, feed me sugar. So if you hang in there long enough, you're going to see that it's not, it will go away. And so when, how long, the next question is, how long will it go away? So it'll, you know, usually something like Candida takes, or a sugar addiction issue will take, you know, anywhere from a few days to a week fasting, and that will start to calm down. You just got to be, when you're eating, try not to feed it as well. So there's definitely a starving out and a changing of the microbiome. And as that change happens, you will see a change in cravings. And we, there's another topic that we don't know enough about, right? We just don't get that we are driven by these bacteria.
Right, so. Right. Bacteria is one thing. One thing, like we previously talked about on other lives, is like our taste buds actually changes every 3 weeks. So once you stop eating all the junk food, all the processed food, all the sugar, like after 3 weeks, not only, you know, your gut microbiome will adapt, you feel better, but your taste bud will actually change. So then you don't feel that creamy anymore. That food will actually like taste horrible to you compared to like healthy food.
Yeah. Yeah. It, you know, and again, we think we're, we think it's all willpower. So let's just blow that theory away. Like, your food choices are not 100% willpower. In fact, I don't know what the percentage would be, but I'm going to guess that it's close to 50% of your food choices are because of what's going on in your microbiome, in your gut.
Right.
So this is what I love about fasting. Fasting is the fastest path to changing your microbiome. And then you combine that with the food changes and boom, now within your, to your point, within 3 weeks, we have a different microbiome. So we have different food cravings.
That's amazing. So there are like some fasts that where you can save up to like up to 500 calories. Like, how do you choose the food to eat?
Yeah, are you talking about like fast mimicking diet?
Exactly.
Yeah. So the fast mimicking diet was made by Valter Longo. He's one of the top leading fasting researchers, and his studies are amazing. The reason he chose the 500 calories and he kept protein under 20 grams is that he wanted to make sure that he was able to keep people in a semi-fasted state in order to create stem cells. So a lot, then he came up with his own food protocol. It's called ProLon, and it's a great resource. I would tell you that it, what we've seen in our community is it's a lot easier to just go without food and to train. Like, I just recently had so much fun training a couple of novice groups, taking them through a 3-day water fast. And what excited me about this is that these were like people that were like, okay, I'll do anything you say, let's try it. And so the second group that I just recently worked with, they were, everybody was blown away at how good their body felt, how clear their mind was, how after a day their appetite went away, and they had a whole new relationship with fasting and their body. So when we go to choose a fast, I'm not, partial fasting, 500 calories is not high on my list. I feel like just go without food and look at it from a time restricted period. And the six different late fasts that I map out in Fast Like a Girl go from 13 hours all the way up to 72 hours. So, and within that, there's different switches of healing that will get turned on during that time period. So that I find to be more efficient for people than counting calories. Mm-hmm. And bottom line, we've been counting calories too long in this world, and we're getting more and more obese. So it doesn't work. Let's just take calories and throw it out. I will tell you, in Fast Like a Girl, one of the very first chapters I have is called It's Not Your Fault. And the reason I named it that is because the calorie in, calorie out version of diet has given so many people pain and suffering and a sense that they have control, but they don't have control. So I'm like, we got to debunk that first before people can understand fasting.
Yeah. And then also your instructions are way more easier to follow and to think about it too.
It's like,
which
it's
is like essential Well, behavior change.
Yeah, it's just like on off. I'm eating, I'm not eating. I'm eating, I'm not eating. But I need to eat a little bit. That's where the mind is like, well, a little bit was good. That taste, I got some dopamine there and it wants more. Whereas I found if my brain just says, nope, that's it. Like I'm not eating right now. It has been really, really helpful. And I will always point out to people that I was the hangry person. I was the person who walked around with snacks all the time. I was the person, if you didn't feed me, I would probably just take you down. So the fact that I've been able to train my body to do this tells me anybody can do it. It's just how we look at our eating window versus our fasting window.
Makes sense. So how often should a person fast?
So I believe that there should be some form of fasting every day. It really depends, again, on what you're going to what you're trying to accomplish. Fast Like a Girl, I have something in there called the fasting cycle, which takes a 28 to 30 day cycle of a woman's menstrual cycle and tells you when you can fast and when you can't. So this is why it's so important that women do it different, is because women shouldn't be fasting all month long. So to make it very, very simple, we can fast pretty well all the way up until the week of our period. But the week of before our period, progesterone is trying to come in. And if cortisol goes up because of fasting, now remember, exercise raises cortisol, fasting raises cortisol. So if cortisol goes up, temporarily progesterone will come down. So the only time I recommend that women really, really modify their fast is the week before their period.
That makes a lot of sense. That's also right before you need to bleed. So you probably want to replenish all the good nutrients.
Yes.
And stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, so, oh my gosh, such a good point. You actually just gave me like another level to think of this. So when we're fasting in like 17 hours or more, we are getting rid of what we call of senescent cells. And senescent cells are aging, old cells that we need to get out of our system. And so if you are going into some longer fasts, and then you're getting these senescent cells to go out, and then boom, let's say it's day 20, the week before your period, now you bring up your carbs so that, and you stop fasting so you can make more progesterone. When you bleed, all those senescent cells are going to go out with blood. Now, again, we as women, we villainize our periods, we villainize our hormones, but it is a beautiful detox. So if you pair the right fast with your actual blood, time of your period, it's another way of naturally detoxing that doesn't cost any money.
That makes so much sense now that you explained it, because many women also actually feel the craving before they get their period. So it's also another way to kind of listen to your body too. That time, you know, try not to fast that much, but then after that, you could totally do it.
And let me comment on that too, because this is where I'm like, oh my gosh, how many years, women, have we been saying, oh my gosh, I'm craving chocolate, I'm craving ice cream, yes, I want pizza the week before my period. Guess
what? Right.
We're back at it's not your fault. Because the week before your period, because progesterone needs glucose to be higher and it needs cortisol to be lower, and you are literally more insulin resistant the week before your period. So in order for you to be able to bring your glucose up, your body, your intelligent, miraculous body, make sure that you crave carby things. And because you need to bring cortisol down, your miraculous, intelligent, superwoman body, make sure you sit on the couch. But what do we do? We're like, I'm just going to eat a tub of ice cream and watch a Netflix series for 8 hours, and then I'm going to mentally berate myself because I didn't do what I was supposed to do for my health that day. So let's flip that and say, okay, I'm not advocating for a box of pizza. I'm not advocating for a tub of ice cream. I'm saying you need some nature's carbs that week before, and you need to say no to social engagements. You need to chill out a little bit more, yoga, more hiking, more sleeping, more internal. That's how your womanly body was designed, and it's amazing. It is not a flaw. It is our superpower. So now's the time for us to honor that and step into it and acknowledge how cool it is that our body does that.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it. So what's the best meal to break a fast?
Oh, that's a great question too. I feel like you're getting all my favorite things to talk about. So in the new book, Fast Like a Girl, I really made sure that there's a whole chapter on breaking a fast. And the reason that I wanted to put that out there is because healing happens in the fasting window, but it also happens when we go to reintroduce food. So there are three things you want to break your fast with. The first one is protein. We have a lot of vegans in our community, in my Reset Academy and in my my following. You could do a protein shake, you could do a hemp protein. If you are a vegan, I really want to encourage you to add in some amino acids because you just can't get a complete profile of aminos. Otherwise, if you're not vegan, eggs, sausages, those, you know, a protein-rich meal, specifically you want to hit 20 to 30 grams of protein because it triggers an amino acid sensor within your muscles that will help you grow your muscles stronger. So protein's my favorite. Women over 40, you definitely need to be doing more protein when they went to break their fast because it's super important that we build muscle as we age. Second thing is those of you that want to try a longer fast, there's something called a fasted snack, which is basically a fat bomb. And so I often will do like a half of avocado with some sauerkraut. And then,
oh my God, delicious.
Right. It's amazing. I might even add some hemp seeds and some sea salt on it. And then I won't eat until dinner. So I'll do that meal at like 1 or 2, and then I'll eat again at dinner. So if you want to elongate your fast, then fat is really good for stabilizing that. And then the last thing for those of you that might have been on birth control for many, many years, mm-hmm. or you've been on a lot of antibiotics, I like breaking the fast with bone broth and then adding in what we call the three P's, which is polyphenol, probiotic, prebiotic foods. These are things like yogurt, Greek yogurt, olives, You can add in some fiber, even a salad. I just broke my fast today with a really nice fresh salad. So there's a lot of different ways you can go about that. You want to make sure that you're strategic. It's not just, oh, good, I can eat. Let me go back and eat whatever I want. You can do that. And you're not undoing your fasting, you know, benefits. But it's you can still get a lot more out if you focus on those three things.
Oh, wow. Such good tip. I know we're running short on time. Do you still have more time?
Yeah,
I have a couple more questions.
I have a couple more minutes.
Okay. Because we have so many people asking a ton of questions. But I want to talk a little bit about the Reset Academy, because I think people can really benefit from that. So, you know, tell us a bit about Reset Academy and like how can someone join?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. The Reset Academy, outside of my book, is like the community in there is near and dear to my heart. So what I noticed when I started putting my YouTube videos out, and you guys that are like on social media, you probably feel this, like you get little pieces of information that are inspiring. You might go try them, but then you either get distracted and lose your focus, or maybe you decide that that piece of information isn't right for you. So what I did is I created a low-cost membership group where people could come in and learn how to build what I call a fasting lifestyle. And a fasting lifestyle is knowing how to vary your fast, how to vary your foods, and how to do it in community, especially for women. Community is really important. Our hormones really shine when we're in community. So that is what the Academy is. And every other month, we do a 15-day fasting experience together. Every Saturday, we work out together, and I do what I call a coffee chat, where I share new information that I'm learning. We have videos in there to teach you all the different fasts, all the information. The book won't come out until December, so you can still pre-order it now, but if you want to pre-order it and then get access to some of the information in it, I'm teaching it in the Academy. So it was really a way to take information that might feel very scattered for people and give it some focus and then surround it in a loving community. So I love my Academy people. It's just really exciting to watch what they can do in that environment.
Love it. We'll have all this information on the post promoting this IG Live. So I know you also have a podcast, which you also, you know, trying to educate people, covering really interesting topics. So tell us about the Women United podcast. What kind of topic do you cover, and, you know, where people can find to listen?
Yeah, so I've got two podcasts right now. One is Women United, which I did with actress Kat Graham, for people who know her. And it was really, that was really a collaboration project for her, for both of us, to really help younger women specifically, but women in general, learn more about their health and empower women. The second one that I have is called The Resetter Podcast. And this is really what I love about The Resetter Podcast is, those of you that are in my community, or those of you that are, you know, now joining and want to follow my community, one of the things that I do is I read your comments and I look at what the needs are and where you're getting stuck. So thank you to everybody who leaves comments on whatever platform you're watching me on. And then I look at experts that can help us enlighten and elevate that concept of whatever you're needing. So, for example, like this week we put out one with Dr. Annette Boz. And she's an incredible medical doctor who's also on YouTube doing great things. And we talked about the power of understanding hemoglobin A1C. So hemoglobin A1C, we don't talk about this enough, but that's a predictor of longevity. Mm-hmm. So go listen to that interview. It will blow your mind. So I'm trying with the Resetter Podcast to bring really new topics to the health, to my people, so that you can understand your health and just how miraculous your body is at a deeper level.
Oh my God, this is so cool. Okay. And you just mentioned the Fast Like a Girl is coming out in December.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So everyone, be sure to watch out for that. And then we want to list that book on our website so
Thank
people
you.
Can get that information.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Now we have like so many questions. I'm gonna scroll to the top and then go through some of the questions.
That's great.
Yeah, thank you everyone for asking. Oh my gosh, so many people, and I'm trying to find the questions.
Yeah, I know, it's hard. It's okay. And I know that some of my team is listening. Sequoia or Jess, if you're listening, can you tell me what time? I think I have a 3:00. Just tell me what time I need to be off, because I didn't look before I got on.
All right. Okay. Oh my gosh, so many questions. I'm still scrolling because we have such an awesome audience today.
Awesome.
All right, almost there.
No worries. I know what it's like to be on the other side of this.
All right, almost. Sorry, everyone. Thank you for your patience. All right. Somebody asked about fasting for menopausal women.
Yes. So fasting for menopausal women, you know, here's the thing to know about menopause. Really, menopause starts at 40. So what happens at 40 is that the ovaries start to shut down. Okay. My husband said I have 10 minutes. Thank you. You, after 40, your estrogen is going to go down. And as estrogen goes down, you become more insulin resistant. So fasting to me is a must for women over 40. Otherwise we're going to start to see weight gain. We're going to start to see some major problems. So I have a whole book. It's called The Menopause Reset. It's on Amazon right now. And basically what it is that it's 5 lifestyle changes that need to happen after 40. If you're 60 or 70, you can still make these lifestyle changes. But for sure, women that are over 40 or approaching 40, please, please, please know that things have to change as your ovaries stop making as many sex hormones. They hand over the responsibility to your adrenal glands, you become more insulin resistant. There's a lot there to know.
Okay, so that's anybody over 40. That's including menopause and postmenopause.
Yes.
So
yeah, everybody.
Right. Somebody asked about whole avocado and yeast going to break my 3-day fast on the second day.
Yeah. If yeast works for you, great. As somebody who used to have candida for many years, I just wouldn't do it with yeast. But avocado is great. If you want to add yeast and you know it does well for you, fine. That's fine. And somebody asked about over 60. I just saw that comment come through. I want to point out that if you have gone through menopause and you still have some of the symptoms, you're still struggling with weight gain, hot flashes, sleep, anxiety, depression, all the crazy things we go through as these hormones go away. It's never too late. That the menopause reset, read it. It's a quick read, and you can really make those changes and course correct now.
So if someone with Hashimoto's, do they need to fast differently?
Yes and no. So the other thing I love about this book is that for years, I have been in the trenches coaching one-on-one a lot of women, and Hashimoto's is one of them. So in the new book, I put fasting protocols for all kinds of things, and Hashimoto's is one of them. So know that's in there. For right now, what I would tell you is with autoimmune conditions, we've got two very, very common scenarios across the board for all autoimmunity. One is you have a gut that's out of balance that is causing the immune system to be out of balance. And the second is there's a toxin there that the body is attacking. So in Hashimoto's, we've got an overreactive immune system attacking a toxin in the thyroid. So your two fasts are going to be 17-hour and 24-hour. At 17 hours, we start to see old toxins get exit out of our system. At 24 hours, we start to see a change in the microbiome. So that's a big one. And again, I go into more in the book.
Okay, check out the book. So if somebody asks, what about hysterectomy? So if someone had hysterectomy.
Same thing, you know, hysterectomy, you're going to have to figure out that, you know, we have some crazy stories, by the way, in my academy of people that had uterus, full hysterectomies, uterus and ovaries taken out, and they were told they would be in menopause within like 3 months, and 3 years later they were still making sex hormones. So remember, just because you take an organ out doesn't mean all the cells have been removed. There are some cells that can still be there producing hormones, and other organs will kick in and do some extra work. So with hysterectomy, we really want to make sure again that we're going into some different length fasts. I recommend what I call a 5-1-1 for women who have a hysterectomy. 5 days a week, you go into intermittent fasting, about 13 to 15 hours. 1 day a week, you're just going to eat one meal a day. I'd love to see you go about 24 hours of fasting, and then 1 day a week, you don't fast. And that's really now you're minding estrogen, testosterone, and progesterone. It's how you start to bring some of that those hormones back, even though you don't have the organs that were primarily designed to make those hormones. It blows my mind how the body does that.
Amazing. So a lot of people ask where to find the correct podcast. So I'm assuming they can just go to Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, just go to Apple Podcasts. Both of them are on there. The Resetter Podcast, the one that I did this week would be the most current one. It's Dr. Boz is her name. This one is mind-bending for so many people, but you'll see a lot of great podcast interviews I've done there.
Awesome, awesome. So everyone, like, I think I saw a lot of repeated questions. So you can rewatch this Instagram Live. We will have everything saved. Make sure you check out the two podcasts. And then the book name is Fast Like a Girl. It's coming out in December. And also check out the Reset Academy. And everything Dr. Mindy said is on the website, and then make sure you join the group. So, oh my God, this is so awesome. We're going to have to invite you back to go and do
please,
a deep dive for the women. So
please,
thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I love the questions, and keep up the amazing work you all are doing with helping the world understand toxins. It is one of the biggest things that human health crises we have right now is the toxic load that we're under. And I see your work and my work really synergizing because as we educate people on stopping to put the toxins in, fasting is a great way to get rid of these cells that Absolutely. Have been toxified. So we're pairing two amazing things together. So thank you for the work you're doing.
No, absolutely. Thank you so much. And thank you everyone for joining and all these fantastic questions. So we'll see you guys soon.
Have a great one.
Thank you. Bye.